We're on Insight. Mr. Jack Stogler here on a cold Wednesday evening. We have had a lot of these in the past, the way it seems.
Yep, not just Wednesdays either.
It seems like it. And, you know, usually not as bad in the evenings as it is first thing in the morning. But we are live in studio with one of my favorite people in the whole world. Nurse practitioner, Miss Amy Wendell. How are you, Amy?
Good. Good, Jack.
So you know, you've been, you know, sitting here, you know, just you kind of relaxing here for the last 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Amy literally just walked in the door and just as cool, calm, and collected as the next guy. So welcome.
Thank you.
Busy?
Very busy.
Very busy. It is that time of year.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a student right now, a student nurse practitioner, and I said, I feel like I'm one of those college health clinics where everybody who walks in is diagnosed with mono.
Yeah.
Well, right now, everybody who walks in, no matter what they have, has influenza.
Isn't that something?
So we're getting a little redundant.
Yeah.
I have to
say. So I would tell you what, before we get into the flu thing, let's talk about your family. Okay?
No, sure.
I saw a picture of your family, and they're just the most gorgeous group of people ever. And it seemed like slowly but surely, especially except for maybe the two youngest, that they're kind of matched up, ain't they? I mean,
yeah, they've all got partners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
We're going to be grandparents in March.
No way.
Yeah.
How?
First time.
You're not old enough to
be
a grandma.
I know.
So, 28-year-old grandmother.
Exactly.
I know.
But I'm ready.
It's amazing, though,
awesome.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you know what? I know that you love the whole parenting thing. But the whole grandparent thing just kicks the crap out of the whole parent thing.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we have 4 older kids, and then we took a big break, and then we had 2 more.
Yeah.
So we still have a junior high and a high schooler, but the first 4 are all pretty well off on their own.
Yeah, that's cool. And yeah. Okay, so the oldest one is... a girl, and her name is...
Claire.
Claire, and then
Kristen,
and then
Josh,
and then
Juliet, and then
Juliet's still in school, right?
Yep. She just started Monday doing a co-op at Midmark.
So really?
She's really
awesome. So
enjoying that.
So is she still going into the business mm-hmm. part of
HR,
things?
HR business.
Awesome.
Yeah.
She is. She's as sweet and as hard a worker as you're ever going to get. So, and then the 2 little ones are, you said,
a freshman, and Alexis is a 7th grader.
How fun is that?
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, I tell you what, we're going to come back and talk to Amy about the flu and prevention and spread and how to keep your kids healthy or how to not make other kids sick anyway. So we'll be back right after this.
Be sure to stop in to Brick Street Tavern every Friday night for a Queen of Hearts drawing at 10 o'clock. You could win thousands of dollars if your name is drawn and you pick the Queen of Hearts. The pot just keeps getting bigger every week that we have no winner. Ask your server for tickets when you stop in for lunch. You have to be there to win the full amount, but even if you can't get there for the drawing on Friday night, you can still get 40% of the pot. So be sure to get your tickets for Brick Street Tavern's Queen of Hearts drawing and be ready to win some big bucks. You can stop by Brick Street anytime to buy your tickets. The drawing will be every Friday night at 10 o'clock after the basketball games.
This is Elizabeth from Wayne Street Market. Start your new year out with our salad selections in our produce section. Don't forget to add our Cooper's Turkey from the deli department to add on your salads. And remember, Valentine's Day will be here before you know it, so don't forget that special someone in your life. We do customized gift baskets for all occasion. Thanks for shopping Wayne Street Market in historic downtown Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. The TurboMax by Great Plains takes vertical tillage to the max. With its hydraulically adjustable gangs and 3 3/4 inch overall blade spacing, TurboMax levels your seed bed without creating compaction. In the fall, run the machine with gangs at an angle to bury more residue. In the spring, keep the gangs straight to create a level, vertically tilled seed bed that is perfect for planting. Call K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today. See what the Great Plains TurboMax can do for you.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the girls will host Versailles in a big MAC matchup. On Friday, the boys will travel to Versailles to take on the Tigers. Saturday evening, the boys host the Arcanum Trojans. Tomorrow, girls host Versailles. Friday, boys at Versailles. Saturday, the boys host Arcanum. Get to all these games this weekend if you can to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Miss Amy Wendell. So, we were touching on the fact you're really busy. And this is, we are... You hopefully in the heart of flu season, and we hope it doesn't get any worse than you this. But so what have you been seeing as far as the people that come in that are sick? What are the flu symptoms?
Oftentimes people think of flu as the vomiting and the diarrhea and the gastrointestinal, but influenza is respiratory. So right now, typically starting at about Thanksgiving time and all the way kind of through sort of the beginning of February, we'll see this type of flu we call influenza A. Mm-hmm. Now that's simplifying the actual virus, because it's actually a little collection of viruses that have sort of morphed themselves into something that we are calling influenza A right now. So patients come in, they have been sick a couple days. It starts out where they just sort of feel really tired, headache, they start to have body aches, they start to have a sore, scratchy throat, and then they start to have a runny nose, and then the next thing you know, they've got this cough that's really a kind of a strong, powerful cough.
Yep.
And you put all that together with a 102 to 104 fever, and you've got the recipe for just feeling cruddy.
Yeah.
And so, really, it depends on the type of health status that patient had prior to getting the flu, how they kind of do with it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, had they seen the flu before? Had they been exposed to it before? Does their body have the ability to set up
any type of buildup?
Yeah, some antibodies to kind of fight some of the symptoms. The flu shot, I know the media kind of went crazy and said, early on, maybe in December, it was saying the flu shot was really kind of pitiful coverage this year.
Yeah.
We're actually seeing a more hopeful response. A lot of the patients that are coming in, the family members maybe in the household with someone who's had influenza, they're getting some symptoms, but they're not near as bad.
Good.
They're not getting the high fevers. They're like under 100 degree fevers, which there's a big difference in an adult, especially a 99.9 fever versus 102. I mean, there's a big difference. You feel way different. So the flu shot is really kind of showing me that you're just getting a more of a minor nuisance type illness versus something that's putting you down in bed.
So in a case like that, are the people that are feeling more of a nuisance just as contagious as the ones that feel crappy?
Unfortunately, they are.
Yeah.
So it's respiratory bound. So when you sneeze, when you cough, when you rub your nose, rub your little tearful eye, and then you're in church and you give someone the sign of peace, or you are using the shopping cart at the local grocery store and it's not wiped down, and then somebody else uses it and then they rub their face. That's a lot of times the way it gets spread. That's the vehicle to get the vector on into the body. And so, we're doing lots and lots of teaching and education on things.
And a lot of hand washing. I mean, that is basically
Hand washing.
Yeah.
And I tell people a lot, you know, if you're going to go out in public, do not touch your face in any way, shape, or form until you can wash your hands again. So touching your face, you know, how many times a day are we out and about and we scratch our eye, we wipe something off of our nose, you know, we touch our mouth just in a posture that we take. And I really try to get people to be aware, keep the hands down.
Don't you're touch making your my face. Nose itch.
Yeah.
You're making my nose
use
itch right now.
Use that pencil on your desk instead of your finger. So there's a lot of different ways. The other thing is just staying home.
Yeah.
Staying home. You know, we're in the peak of it. I have a student nurse practitioner right now, and her instructor is actually in Orlando, Florida. So we had to do a phone conference yesterday, midway through. And she said that they've got kind of an epidemic in Orlando, Florida with influenza A. So then we pulled the CDC website up, and it is every state in the union except for Puerto Rico and Alaska, I think, are heavy, heavy flu. Every state in the country. And we don't see that every year. So this is remarkable.
Kind of clustered in
it does
spots.
Cluster. Yeah. You know, the Midwest is where we get it because of the weather and everything. But it's from California all the way to Florida. I mean, it's just
Amy, do you think that some of the I guess maybe resurgence isn't the right word, but seeing more of it this year than recently, you think that has something to do with it being noticeably colder this year than the last two winters, or does that make much difference?
Being colder, I think we had the fluctuations. So when we get the warmer temps, so I looked at my weather forecasting this afternoon because it tells me a lot about what's going to happen with my office with flu season, believe it or not. And it's supposed to warm up, I think. Yep. I think a high of what?
52 or something.
That's going to be bad.
Yeah.
So what that'll do is that'll just kind of percolate some of those viruses again. They'll get some wings to them. They'll get kind of strong. And then the cold weather will hit again. Everybody will come inside.
Kids
and
will go to
everybody
school.
Will get sick. Yeah. So we're going to have another big round of it, I predict, after the weather warms up and gets cold again.
So from the time I shake your infected hand until the time that I don't feel good is an incubation period of a week?
About 4 to 7 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's quick, really.
It's fairly quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible.
And then, you know, we have this time frame. There is this magic antiviral medication called Tamiflu.
Yes.
It doesn't always work, but it has been helping keep the week potentially from having to be admitted to the hospital, the little kids and the older people. There's a window of opportunity to get that in a person. So oftentimes in this type of community, we're very stoic people. So we get sick, we start to get a scratchy throat, a cold, a low-grade fever. So we wait it out. And so our window of opportunity is about 48 to 72 hours we've got.
Yeah.
So most of the people in our community are coming in day 4, 5, and 6 because their fevers won't go away.
Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do.
Yeah. And
so I'm not saying rush in, but I'm just saying just understand that the fevers, influenza can last 10 to 14 days. You can have a fever for a good 7 to 10 days.
Yep. And it's not just that we're stoic and we put off seeing the doctor, but we also don't want to miss work. So we go to work when we don't when we really shouldn't.
Exactly.
And it just
well, you remember a time when most of us had maybe 5 sick days a year that we got.
Yeah.
Now that's changed. Not everybody has sick days anymore. So, you know, at the factories, you get points, you know, and you just don't want to rack those points up. And you don't want to waste your vacation either.
Sure.
Your vacation days. So
yeah.
People want to go to work.
Well, and, you know, people find enough reasons not to come to work.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah,
I heard on the radio that, and I don't want to get overly. No, it was a different station because I didn't. Okay. But, and, you know, without going into a fourth level science class, I heard that this flu was like an H5N3. Okay, what does that mean?
H4N3.
Okay, maybe it was four.
It's just the particular group of strains of viruses that make up this flu.
Do the virus. H's and N's mean anything? Are they stand for anything, or are they just
they do. They're very, very long words.
Okay,
and they do stand for something. They're particular types of viruses.
Okay,
so it's a collection of virus that is making up this illness that we're calling influenza.
Okay,
this season influenza A right now.
So you talked earlier that most people picture the flu being the intestinal thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so is that still the flu? It's just a different type of flu?
Yeah, that's stomach flu. So that type of flu, we actually had a lot of it this past fall and early winter, and we attributed that to a particular set of viruses called the Norwalk set of viruses. They're called the noroviruses or the Norwalk viruses. And again, it's just a group of viruses that have morphed themselves into something that is virulent, and it causes some pretty severe illnesses. I have a collection of theories about that. We started vaccinating little kids for the rotavirus 15 to 20 years ago. I don't know if you remember your kids ever getting a bad stomach virus where they got diarrhea and they ended up needing fluids when they were real little.
Yep.
It was very common.
Sure.
And so the CDC said, well, we've got to vaccinate against this set of viruses called the rotavirus. So about 20 years ago, they started giving children this virus at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months of age. And it drastically reduced the amount of admissions that we had with these little babies under a year for the GI flu dehydration. And guess what? Now this norovirus is starting to rear its ugly head.
So they,
and it's starting to act like the rotavirus.
So they morph into.
They just keep going, and you're constantly trying to stay ahead of the viruses
because
they constantly change. We've been vaccinating for chickenpox for how many years? Well, recently in the last couple of years, we've had the hand, foot, and mouth virus coming in, and guess what? It's starting to look like. Chickenpox.
Yeah.
It's no longer just in the mouth, on the hands, and on the feet. It's all over the body. Looks like chickenpox. Kids are sick. So, it's a situation where when we try to vaccinate and eliminate a particular family, then another group will say, okay, it's my turn, and I'm going to do the same thing. You look at the big picture, and it's sort of just, I don't know. I think it's even the flu. We see these different phases of bad flu seasons and easier flu seasons, and it's very pattern-like. You start to see patterns when you look at the big picture over 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 60 years since they've been documenting these things, and there's a lot of patterns that we see.
Yeah.
Well, people think this is historic. We've never had so much we have.
Yeah.
The first year I was here for the first winter, it would have been like winter 13, 14 here in town. We had a really bad flu season.
Yep. So
it happens.
Yeah. Well, and then just, you hear a lot about the antibiotic resistant bugs,
and the super bugs.
Yeah. And this is somewhat the same type of thing in that one vaccine takes care, so the bug morphs into.
Unfortunately, that's kind of a little different scenario. It's a little bit different thing. We're talking about viruses with the flu and with the stomach flu and stuff like that. Antibiotic resistance is more about bacteria, and it's because we think it's because we've been using antibiotics improperly, really.
Yeah.
We've been trying to treat. It's one of the toughest things is, looking at, like, I just had a sick little baby in the office, and I'm looking at this baby, and I'm thinking, I want to give mom something for this kid because this kid is so sick, but it's a virus.
Yeah.
So I resist, and I don't prescribe antibiotics to this child. But a lot of providers will. And so we're using antibiotics in inappropriate situations so that the kids, the adults, have need stronger and stronger antibiotics. Yeah. So then the bugs become stronger and stronger to fight those antibiotics. So,
well, we're going to come back and you talk about some of the treatment and prevention and that type of thing, as well as have a discussion about vaccines. You know, I think vaccines are getting a bad rep right now, and just to get your take on that, and we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Fors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Running late? Can't decide what to make for supper? Just don't have time to make supper? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them get your meal ready for you. Everybody can get what they want. Subs, great sandwiches, all kinds of deep-fried goodies, plus their famous wings and pizza. Be sure to stop by on Friday for their pizza and wing lunch buffet. And don't forget to make your reservations for your kid's birthday party or any other occasion. So whether it's getting your supper ready tonight or reserving your lanes for a party, let Corey and Jared take the hurry and stress out of your day. Just call them at 375-4274. The Fort Recovery Education Association is sponsoring a chili supper on Friday night, January 26th. Serving will be in the high school commons from 4:30 to 6:30 before the boys' basketball game with Marion Local. Tickets will be available at the door for only $6, and kids under 5 are free. Get to the Marion Local game early on January 26th and enjoy the FREA chili supper with all the fixins. Serving from 4:30 to 6:30.
From 4:30 to 7:30. Something got cut off there. Sorry.
Oh, so hey, fill me in on that again, because that's one thing I never try to miss is
chili supper.
The chili supper. When is it?
That's a week from Friday.
A week from Friday.
Yep. It's going to be the Marion Local game, I believe.
Why is that chili always so good?
It is.
Oh, it's
I don't
so
know.
Good.
Yeah, and
I'm always shy though. I don't want to have in a second bowl.
Oh, I. Well,
they make so much.
They make so much.
Oh no! They, well, that too. I hope, but they make so much chili.
There's plenty of chili.
Oh yeah. They usually end up selling buckets of it. I'm not sure how much is in a bucket, but they usually end up selling buckets of it.
It's a bucket
after the game. Yes,
that's how much it is.
but not a 5 gallon bucket.
Okay. So, and then the Saturday night is the community club fish fry.
Yes, and I have no details on that.
Okay.
Nobody's ever got me details, and I haven't seen a flyer anywhere in town.
Except I do know that they fry fish.
Yes.
And that it's usually like a 5 to 9 type thing.
No, I think it's 4:30 to 7:30.
Okay, see, it's close. Yep. See.
Don't go there at 8:30.
Yeah.
You won't get fish.
Okay. But it is the best fish that.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one thing I always liked doing was going in there and helping them with that. But the last 2 or 3 years, they have been scheduling basketball games.
Yeah.
Then, and, of course, with the radio, I have to be at the basketball games.
What you going to do?
So I haven't been able to help them the last 2 or 3 years.
Neil, there's just not enough of you to go around.
Well, yeah. But fortunately, there's a whole bunch of people that can help out with the fish fry, and there's still some openings on their worker list, but they appear to be in pretty good shape. So,
yeah.
So, and that you can have all the fish you want. You can't eat them out of fish the way yeah. Roger said. The second year we ran out of fish, Roger said that'll never happen again. Yeah. Roger Berman's in charge of it, and he gets plenty.
So, Amy, getting back to the flu thing, okay? Not that the fish fry causes flu, because it does. Okay. So, getting back to the flu thing. So, I'm a parent of a little one. 1 or 2 years old, not quite old enough to tell you what is going on. They're mopey. They're just not themselves, which you hear a lot. So, what do you look for, and at what point do you bring them in to see you?
Well, it pretty much becomes clear to parents that this is more than a cold. So it's the hallmark of flu is it hits fast and the symptoms are pretty dramatic. So young children, fevers, high yeah. fevers. We're not playing around. These fevers are 102, 103, 104. Ooh. And then when kids have fevers that high, they start to breathe very quickly. There's a lot of signs, that way, respiratory-wise, they start to cough. And so it's a fast thing.
Yep.
It's a very fast thing.
So if they start not acting like themselves on Friday by
Saturday Sunday, morning.
Is that right? It'll be that quick.
It's quick.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Friday morning, they might just be a little cranky and want to just sit around. And by Friday night, you can tell something big's happening.
Yeah.
I had a mom last night. Little kid went to bed with a 99, was in the office this morning. I think he was 103 and a half.
No kidding.
So it's fast.
Yeah. So, since it's a virus, you basically treat the symptoms then, I'm assuming.
Treat the symptoms.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
you have
the Tylenol for
like
the,
I said.
Let me ask you this real quick, Amy. You said something about like that particular instance went to bed with at 99 degrees. Should mom be thinking about checking at midnight or 1 or 2 and then run them to the emergency room? Or what is that overreacting? Getting them in to see you or a doctor the next day is good enough? Or
Fortunately, children typically wake up when their fevers are that high. They're real irritable. Mm-hmm. When you do get the flu, you're exhausted, physically exhausted, mm-hmm. but you can't sleep. You just can't sleep because your metabolism's cranked up because your temp is so high. So it's almost like your body wants to stay awake because it's in a crisis mode. So kids, in general, they don't sleep through it. Yep. So if they're really going to go south, they'll wake up in the middle of the night. Yep. And, it depends on the age of the child, depends on the health of the child. We have high-risk children who have asthma.
Yep.
And so, this little boy last night, mom called into the office and said, hey, here's the deal. Well, let's just see how the night goes. This child was very healthy, didn't have any kind of extenuating circumstances that would put him at risk. So mom was fine with riding through the night. I think she woke up once, gave him some fever suppressant.
But it is good that they call you or the doctor or somebody that knows, even if it's midnight or something like that. Is that what you're saying or not necessarily?
No, just monitor. I mean,
But if you have an at-risk child, then you deal with it a little different.
Yeah, you want to watch the ABCs, airway, breathing, and circulation, so make sure they're breathing all right, make sure their color is good, make sure that they're not going in and out of being conscious and that type of thing. You just want to make sure that all those things are checked. But most of the children, it's influenza. Healthy kids can get through it without medication.
Nope.
But it's scary. It's dramatic. It's fast.
And it lasts a long time.
And it lasts a really long time. I'm a big one with fevers. I don't like parents to treat fevers unless they're high. So,
is that anything over 100?
Believe it or not, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends 101.5 or lower not to treat.
No kidding.
So that seems really high, Once your kid gets about 100.5, 101, they get really grumpy and irritable with the fever. But you know, a fever serves a purpose. A fever is helping the body to fight this infection. And so when we suppress a fever, we kind of suppress the body's ability to fight infection. So I do want moms and dads to kind of be careful with suppressing fevers. I mean, I see parents all the time. Yeah, my kid was a 99.9 and I gave him Tylenol right away.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing.
I didn't know anything about that the fever help is
the fever is really, really helping the body to fight infection. Fevers are good. Fevers are good. What did they used to tell you to do when you were sick? Cover up, sweat it out, get that fever going, you know?
Yeah.
That your body will fight the infection more effectively. The problem is children have seizures when their fevers go up too high.
Yeah.
So once or twice a year, we will have a little kid that will spike a fever fast. It's not a kid who goes 99, 100, 101, 103, 104. It's not that kid. That kid's going to be all right. It's the child who's in the office at 99. By the time they get to the pharmacy to get their medicine, they're 104. They have a seizure.
Wow.
And that's call 911. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
you
know, and it's scary. So we're constantly trying to watch these kids. If it's a child who's in its first or second year of life and mom doesn't have any other kids to base her history on, because it tends to run in families too, we don't know. Will this child be okay at 100, 101 degrees without anything for the temp? Or is this kid going to be one of those that spikes up to 104 within 10 or 15 minutes, throws him into a seizure? Yeah.
And you don't really know how to figure that out.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Well, and that
you go with family history and, you know, so, and we have a few kids at the office that are marked, you know, this kid, this kid gets a 99, it's going to get Tylenol or Motrin because he's had seizures in the past because of fever.
Well, and I think that is probably lesson number, it's definitely in the top 10 of the whole parenting thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, how do you judge when you take your kid to the doctor?
It is hard.
Yeah. And there's self-inflicted pressure on moms, because you read this article on the internet one time where kid in Louisiana, you know, sneezed to cause a brain aneurysm, and so I mean there's so much more stuff out there that parents read and can
hear. I was trained to not even treat strep throat aggressively. We were trained, if the child is doing all right, don't necessarily treat strep throat with antibiotics. Yeah. There was a little video on Facebook the other day I came across where there was a child who had strep. It had attacked her muscles and her brain. And she had, you know, she had, did you see that? She had neurological issues, you know, and I thought, oh, great.
Yeah.
All these moms are going to see that. It's going to scare them to death. So, yeah, social media has definitely amped up the fear and the concern that parents have.
Well, because you hear everything.
And even if that particular parent isn't alarmed with their child or hasn't necessarily seen a lot of that, it doesn't take long for her sister or her mother or her grandma to call and say, listen, I saw this the other day and you better take them in.
Yeah.
So social media has definitely changed a lot.
All those anecdotal things and some of them, most of them are true. Some of them aren't, though. Some of them are kind of made up or exaggerated or just trying to scare people or trying to get empathy or whatever it might be. And you just, it's kind of
fake news.
Yeah. It can be. Some of it is. Some of it really is. And that's horrible that you're doing that with people's lives.
So we talked right before break about the flu vaccine and how it seems like vaccines in general are getting a bad rep, you know, because it causes it causes autism. It contributes to this and. What's your thoughts on the whole vaccine issue at this point?
Well, I mean,
can we take a break real quick, because this is probably going to be a good long answer to this. Let's take a break real quick, and we'll be back and find out what the answer to that is about what Amy knows about vaccines, because she's had some experience with
I'm
that.
I'm sitting here on the edge of my seat waiting for that answer.
We'll scoot back.
Okay. We'll be back.
Well, we keep them on the edge of their seat while they hear these messages from our wonderful sponsors. Back in a minute.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Is Spider-Man there?
I don't know where you can find Spider-Man.
What about Superman?
I don't know where Superman, Spider-Man, or any other superhero friends are.
Don't you always have something for everyone?
We do, with insurance plans from Ohio Mutual for your home, auto, farm, or business, and more. And we always offer super prices for your coverage.
Super prices? I never heard of that, superhero.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4188.
I remember a time when we didn't have to wear sweaters in the house to keep warm.
That was just a few months ago. It's called summer.
But now, why do we have to wear sweaters indoors?
Because we have a horrible heating system. And why are you talking like an old man? You're only 37.
Oh, I forgot. I'll call Reasoner Energy. They'll uncover any problems and give us solutions. I hear Reasoner Energy has been the go-to heating expert for years and years.
Stop it!
Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Are you planning a building project? Let B&D Contracting help you with your plans. Get together with Dave Kalp and discuss your plans and construction schedule. B&D Contracting also does remodeling and can build your commercial, agricultural, or steel building in addition to their custom-built homes. Call Dave today at 419-234-2976 and schedule your construction project. B&D Contracting is a proud athletic supporter. This is a press release from the Al Souter family. To the administration of Fort Recovery Local Schools, the communities of Fort Recovery and Paulding, the Ohio High School Athletic Association, the Daily Standard, the Portland Commercial Review, and countless others involved in the planning of the longest day celebration in honor of Al Souter. Wow, the Souter family cannot express enough our appreciation and love for the thoughtfulness of the gifts and honors that were shared with us Saturday night in Fort Recovery. It is truly humbling and warming to feel the community spirit and love shared in the Fort Site Fieldhouse on Saturday night. The gifts of the original state championship banner, game ball, videos from Fort Recovery High School and the OHSAA, team shirts for all involved in the evening, and the over $8,000 raised and donated to the Alzheimer's Association are very gracious, much appreciated, and overwhelming. It means even more to us knowing the kind of people you are and your passion for what you do on a daily basis. It was an extremely special night for all of us, and thank you all so much for being a part of the celebration. We are still overwhelmed going through pictures and sharing stories of the night. Another heartfelt thank you, the Al Souter family.
That was really cool last Saturday.
Yes, it was. And the thank you that they sent is as about as touching as the ceremony and Tom's speech. So it was just I loved it.
Yeah, it was cool. So
once again, Fort Recovery at its best.
What's that?
Once again, Fort Recovery at its best.
It's incredible.
It just keeps happening.
It really is. I know it. You know, and you just wait for us to be a normal town, and we just keep exceeding it. I'll tell you. Yep. So, one of the reasons I think that's true is because we've all been vaccinated.
That makes us
better. That's a segue.
Oh,
you
know, man. So I could find probably 10 people within about a block who would refute that.
So,
not me.
So, is there some legitimacy to the anti-vaccine movement?
It's tough. That's a tough situation. I mean, I think we've never seen the wrath of these diseases, these illnesses that we vaccinate for. We've pretty much wiped them off the face of the earth. So, you know, if you talk to my parents or my husband's parents, you know, they deeply respect polio and measles and smallpox. They deeply respect it because they've seen it.
Yeah.
And they've seen people die from it. And so
or
I think,
be maimed for life.
Yeah, polio was one of those things that...
It doesn't take... Yeah. All we got to do is drive over to Portland. I mean, I don't know if we have any post-polio survivors here in Fort Recovery, but I know there's a... good handful of them still alive over in Portland.
Yeah.
And so it was real. They happen. They occur. They cause death. They cause extreme disability. So we have, you know, a couple of generations now.
Yeah.
My generation and then my kids' generation. Those are two full generations now that haven't seen stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, J School Corporation freaked out this fall when we there was a child with chicken pox. I mean, it's chicken pox, people. But
chicken pox doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I read that.
So anyway,
I was taught that.
You know, yeah, I think there's a real need for vaccinations. I believe that, you know, we've said this before on this program. As parents, we have a expectation that our child will live to adulthood. Not too long ago, two generations ago, that expectation really wasn't there. Mothers lived with the knowledge that they could definitely lose maybe 25 to 50% of their brood, their children. And because of communicable diseases that spread from one person to the next. So, you know, it's just, I don't know, part of it I believe is just not really believing that those diseases can come back and are real. We've already got measles knocking on our door here in Ohio, in Fort Recovery. So lots and lots of people aren't vaccinating. So we're starting to see a lot more breakthrough things coming in. So we have to keep our eyes open for everything. I call the health department very regularly and ask them about things because I see things in the office and I think, well, this is different. I know there's a lot of people not vaccinating anymore.
Yeah.
Mumps, you know, just lots of things that I'm seeing, and I'll call and say, hey, have you seen any of this? Is there a chance that maybe this could be this?
Yeah.
And the epidemiologist over there will tell me, you know, possibly, you know. Yeah. So I do feel like there's definitely it's a real challenge because we have very large families in our communities that don't vaccinate. Now they're on the, you know, it's just very large pockets that aren't vaccinating. And so used to be we had this herd immunity. So the, you know, the herd would protect those few that didn't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
There's just such big pockets in the herd nowadays that we're not being protected. Those unvaccinated children aren't being protected, and so we're getting it.
Well, and so it is almost like, you know, the risk of what might happen to that single child is taking emphasis over public safety.
The community, yes.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the approach I take. Sometimes I get this glassy stare and it falls on deaf ears, but I see it as a community service to vaccinate my children, to vaccinate myself, to spread the word on vaccination. I am not one to vaccinate for everything. So I don't feel like right now the World Health Organization is trying to eradicate hepatitis A. And so what do? They pick on the littlest, so they pick on the children, so they're vaccinating the little kids for hepatitis A. Well, hepatitis A is one of those things that really doesn't typically cause severe disability or death, but they want to eradicate it. So, you know, it's like, really? Come on. Yeah. So there's a lot of discussion there, but you know, in general, the big ones, I still definitely support vaccination.
So, you know, what is the role of schools in this? Because it, you know, used to be that if, like, you didn't have your kids vaccinated, then you're not coming to school.
Okay. It did.
What's that?
It did.
Yeah. I mean, so is it still like that?
Well, in the state of Ohio, you do not have to vaccinate your kids. They can still attend public schools.
Okay.
Yeah. The private schools, there are private schools now that are saying no. And then there was a, and you'll have to help me. You're not on the school board anymore. I always thought it was a statewide decision, but I am hearing that even Salina now is very close to mandating that if your children are not vaccinated, you won't be able to attend.
Is that right?
In a public school. So I don't know if they put it in the school district's decision.
Yeah. I mean, it would really seem like that would be a very smart move. Because when you look at a couple generations ago, you know, it would just seem like as long as we have, you know, public schools that bring all these children together, that there should be an expectation that we protect each other.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. You know, we had so much pertussis. You know, we had a lot of issues with pertussis in the last couple of years. And, you know, I'm not going to say that the beginnings of pertussis were from unvaccinated people, but think about it. I mean, and then those kids are attending school, and then kids who have been vaccinated, but maybe they don't have full immunity, they're getting it.
Yep.
And so it's just been real frustrating.
Yeah.
It has raised awareness. So we are definitely doing better at updating those vaccines that we know now are losing immunity. So we're doing, you know, we're doing seventh graders with Tdap. Now we're getting a little younger. We're trying to do sixth graders for the Tdap, which will help protect them from losing that immunity.
Yeah. Well, good.
In the school system. So.
So let's talk about, like, what's new on the horizon. I was at a seminar a year and a half ago that said there are going to be safe drugs develop that will help people maintain healthy weight, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, is that out there? What's coming? You know, what do we have to look forward to?
Well, yeah, there are some kind of incredible gene therapies that are coming out. The one that's most readily available to us basic common people in the family kind of practice primary care setting is a new gene therapy for what's called familial hypercholesterolemia, which just basically means you got heart attacks in your family.
Yeah.
And you may not eat the greatest, but even if you really try, you're still really big time at risk for a heart attack. So they have now injectable medications that we can give people that will help decrease their risk for coronary artery disease, atherosclerosis, plaquing of the arteries.
No kidding.
Using modification of the genes in the body.
So
you can go to Cal Pharmacy and get it.
So
I mean, it costs about $1,000 a dose. But
so you would go and they would pull blood from you, or you know, and then with that
family history. You know, so we look at the family.
Yep.
You know these people in your community. It's these people whose dad died at 52.
Yeah.
Their brother died at 54. They're, you know, and their numbers are poor. Their cholesterol numbers are high. Their LDL is high. Their HDL is low. Their triglycerides are super high. And even when they're trying to do high-dose statin medications like Lipitor and Crestor, and they're cranked to the very limit on those doses, they're still showing signs of aggressive plaque and aggressive, you know, coronary artery disease. It's those people. And there's also, we can test them DNA-wise. They can test and say, oh, you've got it. You've got the gene. And so there's breakthroughs in a lot of different areas in medicine. So diabetes.
Yep.
Diabetes is big. So I think we're running out of time. Is it time for a break?
We have plenty of time. Okay. So, you talk about the diabetes thing real quick.
What type of new drugs?
Yeah.
You know, we used to just have a couple of little oral medications, but then pretty quickly we would have to go to insulin right away. Well, we found out that putting patients, young patients, like in their 50s and early 60s, because that's really young nowadays. We're keeping people alive until their 80s and 90s. And people want to be vibrant. They want to live good, healthy, vibrant lives. So we're finding that if we start insulin when they're in their 40s and 50s, they don't do so well.
Yeah.
They just don't. The insulin starts, we have to keep cranking the insulin up higher and higher and higher doses. They have side effects. They gain lots of weight. Insulin makes you gain weight. And so we have got all these cool options now to deal with diabetes and all the different areas of the body that it affects. So we've got meds that help in the stomach when you eat the carbohydrate. We have meds that work in the pancreas to help maximize the amount of insulin the pancreas secretes. And we have meds that help at the kidney level so that when the kidney actually gets this sugar-filled urine, it dumps it out in the bladder and out. You just urinate it out instead of it recirculating and causing high blood sugars again. So really incredible stuff.
That's cool.
Really incredible stuff.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, come back, and we're going to talk about Amy Wendell's family health practices moving to a different location.
Yeah,
so
we are.
We'll be back right after this.
Forrest Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forrest, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forrest Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forrest Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
Cooper Farms in Fort Recovery, Ohio is currently offering a $1,000 sign-on bonus to qualified Class A CDL drivers to fulfill the role of a third shift live haul driver. This position allows you to be home daily and offers an outstanding benefits package. To apply and find details relating to this position, please visit our website at cooperfarms.com/joinourteam or contact Human Resources at 419-375-4116. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
The committee for the pavilion at Fort Recovery Community Park is selling tickets for a beautiful street-legal Yamaha golf cart. You can get your tickets for only $20 from any committee member, and they'll be available at the boys' and girls' home basketball games where this beautiful golf cart will be on display. They're only selling 750 tickets, so be sure to get yours soon. They'll draw the winner at the Jubilee next summer, or before if they get all the tickets sold sooner. Construction on the new three-season pavilion will begin this summer, and it'll be ready for use in the spring of 2019. The pavilion will hold over 100 people with plenty of parking, and you can purchase a paver brick for the large outdoor patio with your name or your business name on it by contacting Aaron Miner at the Village Hall. Don't miss out. There will only be 750 tickets available for your chance to win this beautiful street-legal Yamaha golf cart at any of the boys' or girls' home basketball games or from committee members Jackie Leverett, Michelle Deuce, Randy Diller, Aaron Miner, Roger Borman, Tom Segrist, Don Lennertz, or Bill Bechtel.
Jack. We're back.
Check those dogs.
Back on Insight with Jack Stogler and Amy Wendell. So, hey, so you're a CNP, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so now there's a medical assistant too, or
what? Physician assistant?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, what's the difference between the two of those?
A nurse practitioner is a nurse. So I was a nurse first at the bedside. Okay. In some capacity. And then you just become sort of an experienced nurse, and then you go back to school, get a master's degree in nursing or in science or in a particular kind of area of science, and then you get sort of postgraduate education on the area that you're going to be a nurse practitioner in. So I was a family. I did family. Okay. So I did little babies all the way up to old people, yep. Geriatrics. A PA can have a degree in biology. A lot of times PAs will have like a pre-med degree, but then they'll decide not to go to med school. So then they go enroll in a PA school, a physician assistant school. And it'll be a 2-year program where it's very intensive. So PAs tend to be more technical. So you don't see PAs in a setting where they've got all kinds of different things happening, like
diabetes
coming in, hypertension, obesity, pediatrics, illnesses, suturing, lesion removals, you know, like my practice. It's more focused. So you'll see a lot of PAs working for cardiologists or orthopedic surgeons, cardiothoracic surgeons. They are like that physician's right-hand man.
Okay.
They'll do all the pre-op education with the patient, meet him in the pre-op room and say, this is what's happening. Dr. So-and-so and I will be there. And then they'll assist. They can function as an assist because every surgeon has to have an assistant. They'll actually close for these people. So they'll close the cavities and then, or the particular orthopedic surgery.
Is that, you said they can. Do they always, or is it just they're allowed to?
Most generally, PAs will do the closing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And then they will do the recovery room visits, you know?
Okay.
Okay. So Dr. So-and-so, he's gone. He's out of here. He's either at the next case or he's doing office rounds or he's on the golf course, but he's out of here. So the PA is there, you know, talking to the patient, making sure everything's okay, coordinating things with the nurses and everything like that. Okay. And then they tend to round to the PAs round oftentimes. There's a lot of PAs you'll see. I love Lima Urology. One of my favorite providers there is one of the PAs.
Yep.
She does a great job. She's real good with urodynamics and she's real personable.
Yep.
But I don't know. I would like to say NPs, nurse practitioners, maybe have a more holistic attitude. I feel like they have a lot more experience in the medical field. They've worked it. Most PAs have never really had a medical job.
Okay. So
I could be a teacher and you decide, okay, I meet the requirements. I'm going to go become a PA.
Yep. Okay.
Cool. Amy, I had a question of something that was in the news today, and just and this may be completely out of your realm of anything you know or think about. Good Samaritan Hospital in Dayton is closing.
Yeah.
What does that mean for patients, employees? What does
it's the Premier Health System, and I think they've made the decision that that particular facility is no longer going to meet the standards of care.
Okay, so it's a matter of, it's not that it isn't making money. It would take cost so much to upgrade it to
the
standards.
Yeah, I mean, Good Seam in the North is staying open, as I understand. Do you guys know where that's at? That's right off of Interstate 70 at 48. It's Good Seam in the North.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that's a huge facility.
Yeah, and that's staying open.
Okay.
That is becoming one of the premier North sites, I believe. Mm-hmm. But the actual hospital, Good Sam,
on Salem Avenue that we pass all the time, or used to pass all the time.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just going to, it would just take too much. And I just think the whole location of it is difficult.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they can't expand. Not easily. I mean, it's just.
I mean, I think it's a huge plan that Premier has. Yeah. I mean, Premier is moving north. I'm predicting in 10 years, this is going to be Premier territory. Premier calls me.
Yep.
I'm this tiny little peon person, but they call me. Would you like to become a Premier provider? So they're they're making their way up.
Yeah. So speaking of huge expansions, I hear that Wendell Family Health is changing locations.
Yep, we are. I wouldn't call it a huge expansion, but I call it better parking, maybe. There you go.
Yeah, definitely that.
So
I saw 30 cars in the parking lot at one of your family events.
Yeah, there'll definitely be more cars when we have a party than probably in my office. But, let's see, a little over a year ago, my brother Dan and his wife Teresa and myself and my husband Steve bought the old Home Idea Center warehouse building there and have slowly been kind of working on it. It took us all winter last year to clean the place. We had 30 years of sawdust from one corner to the other to clean. So I think all total, we had 4 corneal abrasions from that. But we got it cleaned. We divided the place into 3 different sections. The first thing we did was make a big family, I call it the family gathering space in the back, but it's a big family hall. I have permanent seating for 100, and I can probably add another 100 if I needed it. Steve's immediate family is 100. It's 112.
No kidding.
Yeah. So mine is 80. That's immediate. So, and ever growing. So, you know, that's we needed awesome. A big place. Both of our parents were having their parties at their houses. So people were finding a place to sit and not moving for 4 hours and drinking way too much wine. Yes. So we decided we needed a bigger place. And so, yeah, my office is under construction.
Yep.
Right now. And we're also going to put a 3,300 square foot space for physical therapy. So we're bringing some physical therapy to Fort Recovery as well.
That's awesome.
You under the direction of Jackie Brewing from Performance PT. Yeah. So
and you know, it's interesting because that is an air, you know, that's a field. Like it just seems like it continues to
physical
grow
therapy.
And grow.
Yeah, it's, I think a lot of it's because of the baby boomers. You know, we've got people who are living longer. They're living more vibrant lives. They want to stay active.
Yeah. And we're all getting new knees and hips and ankles and all.
Absolutely.
All
and everybody needs rehab. Yeah. The other thing they want to do is more sports enhancement, which I think will be really cool. I mean, Fort Recovery, you know, where things are changing in the sports world and we've got a lot more need for, sports therapy as well as just performance enhancement. So. And I'm not talking about performance enhancement drugs. I'm not talking about that.
No, you aren't talking. Okay.
I have a question about that.
Go ahead.
What about occupational therapy? Is that because the only reason I ask is because we've had some people close to us have strokes, and it seems like they can go to Salina. There's really no place around here to do occupational therapy for stroke. Does physical therapists also work with stroke patients, or is that an occupation?
Yeah, well, physical therapists work mostly with body movement, body mechanics, getting an injury healed. You know, occupational therapy is the focus is getting people back into their lives, getting people back to work.
Yeah.
It's teaching somebody how to eat again by themselves or how to do activities of daily living. And they've got OTA in Coldwater. At the hospital. I think Bob Hibner's group has got OT. Okay. I am not sure if performance is going to bring an OT in or not. My sister Vicky is actually an OTA, so she does a lot of that.
Sam's dealt with, you know, talking to Vicky.
Sam's an OTA.
Right.
So that is definitely something, I think just, you know, as far as performance PT, I just think they've had more than they can handle right now. But I definitely think OT is something that I can see Jackie probably considering because there is such a need.
Right. Yeah. So, when is the expected move date? Do you have
my 5-year anniversary down here is April 1st, April Fool's Day. I think that's Easter Sunday this year, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm hoping April 2nd, I'm there.
That's
so
cool.
If anybody wants to help on Easter weekend, we'll probably be moving.
Now, you got a lot of family members to help.
We do.
120 on one side and 80 on the other.
Exactly.
So
they all act like they're busy when I need them. Then.
So this isn't one of those that Steve's doing it all on his days off.
He tries, he tries, but no, High Camp Brothers. You can't find anybody better than that.
That is good. They're pretty solid.
Those boys can. They can whip it out. So the biggest problem was trying to get them there. So I'm hoping, I'm hoping that they're there and they're working. So,
Well, Amy, I tell you what, it is always informative and fun to talk to you. You have a fountain of information, and we appreciate you taking the time to stop up and say hey.
Anytime. Enjoy it.
You're pooped.
I'm pooped.
You're pooped. So, I tell you what, go home.
Got to head back to the office.
Oh, you do? Well.
Tie up a few loose ends.
We, sure, thank you for, taking the time to, come up and, greet us. So, we will.
Stay healthy.
Yes.
Stay well hydrated and well rested. That's the best ways to fight the flu.
And wash your hands.
Wash those hands, boys.
Yes. So, thanks, Aim. And for insight, let's see, is there anything else, Neil? Okay,
another great show, Jack.
Hey, I tell you what, I just keep kicking them out, don't I?
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
That's good.
So stay tuned for Bub and Fee, where I don't think you guys have a guest tonight.
I don't know what we got. We got everything. We got people calling in. We got a full show.
Full show?
Full show.
Hey, that's
really
good.
Big show. It's something.
So, well, I tell you what, for insight, this is Jack Stogler, and we will see you next Wednesday.
for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show.